From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. According to the Idaho Alliance for Ukrainian Immigrants and Refugees, Idaho is now home to nearly 200 Ukrainians who have been displaced by the war. Despite this new safety, many families do not have access to the resources that are normally offered to refugees, and that significantly limited the help they are able to receive for things like transportation, housing, and education. However, a new center recently opened with the goal to fill this gap. The Ukrainian Welcome Center is currently working to provide assistance with documentation, food, clothing, and other necessities. Joining us today to talk more about the center is the Director of Outreach for the Idaho Alliance for Ukrainian Immigrants and Refugees, Dr. Tina Polashuk, and Sydney Kidd, who originally reported on this story from the Idaho Press. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Sydney, let's start with you. For many, if not all of the Ukrainians arriving in Idaho, immigration programs, they're just not available, meaning they're entering on humanitarian parole. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so humanitarian parole was given to the Ukrainian people when they came into the United States. And essentially what humanitarian parole is it's meant to be a way for people to come into the country for more of a short term, more of a temporary stay. But with what we're seeing happening in Ukraine, a lot of the people that are coming in, it looks like they're going to need perhaps more of a permanent role. But because of that status, they instead of a refugee status per se, they don't have access to refugee resources that are provided to through resettlement agencies that are funded by the government. So like the Agency for New Americans or the IRC. So what Tina and her team at Idaho Alliance have done is they've started this nonprofit, and they're sort of trying to bridge the gap and provide resources that normally would be provided by these resettlement agencies. And they're just trying to help these people get on their feet and have a place to stay and to have resources to help them navigate this new resettlement experience.
Tina, tell us about some of those resources. What is the Idaho Alliance offering to the refugees specifically?
So what we did when we started looking into this issue is we started assessing, as they're coming in, what are their immediate needs, temporary needs, and then their long-term needs. And so our strategic plan, we are tackling this issue from five different angles. And so we're looking at documentation, education, transportation, education, and then also looking at how do we corral volunteers, donations, and all of the people in the Treasure Valley that are willing to step up. And so that five-prong approach is allowing us to make sure that all of their needs are met. When people come initially, the first wave of people that we saw, they came to the United States with literally one or two suitcases. And so their immediate need was shelter and clothing. A lot of them knew someone that they were coming to. Sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's a relative, someone who's taken them in. But the families that are coming in tend to be larger in size. And that's because families that have three or more children, the husbands were allowed to go with them. And so the ones that we're seeing here in Idaho tend to be families of four, five, six children. And so when you have a host family that is now has opened their doors to say seven more people, and they have two or three kids of their own, we're seeing homes that have, you know, 10 to 15 people living in them. And so not only are we trying to get resources for the actual Ukrainian people coming in, but we're also trying to support the host families through this process until the government programs come into play. And they're right around the corner. Right now, we're working with very closely with the Idaho Office for Refugees, the IRC, the ANA, the local organizations. They've been really wonderful about saying, keeping us in the loop about when those programs are going to become available. And so the resources we're providing, we're trying to make sure that during this time when they're not allowed to work yet, because the work authorization piece and the documentation piece takes some time, we're looking at, okay, what can you be doing? So English classes just started this week, actually yesterday. The College of Western Idaho has partnered with us and they're providing English classes. We're helping them study for their driver's license. We're helping them get connected to local networks where they can access some resources until they can get up on their feet and then be able to work and slowly assimilate into the Treasure Valley.
All right, Sydney, the center is located in Nampa. Why Nampa?
So it was in Nampa because the Boise Rescue Mission had a shelter there called the Lighthouse Rescue Mission, and that was a men's shelter. They closed it in March because they didn't have enough people coming in to the shelter for it to be, I guess, cost effective. They sent them to some of their other locations. They had this shelter and they were trying to figure out what to do with it. And I think that's when Tina and her team came in and started a partnership with them.
We're speaking with Dr. Tina Poloshuk, the Director of Outreach for Idaho's Alliance for Ukrainian Immigrants and Refugees, and Sydney Kidd from the Idaho Press about the new Ukrainian Welcome Center in Nampa. So how can folks who live in Idaho help the center out?
Well, there's lots of ways to get involved. We have events that occur on center on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we always need more volunteers, more hands. We have volunteer opportunities to put together food boxes. We need volunteers to help with transportation. A lot of these individuals, they don't have vehicles yet. So even going to and from English classes, we need transportation for those kinds of needs. Sometimes it's transportation to a doctor's appointment or, taking them to the DMV. So that's something that we need. Now, our greatest need, and this is the obvious one for the Treasure Valley, is housing. We have families that, they've been living with hosts for a while and they're getting to a place where, 2 months in, they would love to have their own corner somewhere. And so if there is anyone in the Treasure Valley that, has a empty Airbnb or a rental that's not being used, we would love to be able to place a family into a home like that. Or, maybe it's a private quarters in a basement where, there's a separate entrance. So that's kind of our call to action to the community. This is also a 100% volunteer effort. And so we do need financial resources as well to be able to support these people. Sometimes it's we need to get them gas cards, gift cards. Like yesterday, we had a group from St. Luke's. They did their own drive in their department, and they brought over $850 of gift cards, and those are going to go directly to those families. And so there's lots of ways to get involved, and something that I actually took from one of my good friends, Dr. Greg Wiles. He's over at Nampa Christian. They helped us launch this effort, but something that they always say is you can bring your time, your talent, or your treasure. And that's what we're asking the community to do. It's not necessarily only financial resources, but maybe you have a talent that you can contribute to this effort, or maybe you can contribute your time. And so those are ways that you can get involved. We've had folks step up and say, hey, I want to do an art auction, and then proceeds go to the Welcome Center. There's a race coming up this weekend, and the organizer of the race said, hey, would you give me some flyers? I want to put it in our packets. So whatever resource or connection someone might have, our goal is to be able to plug in our Treasure Valley community so that the resources go directly to these families.
Well, and it sounds like that you've got people who are stepping up to help out. What are the Ukrainian refugees telling you that they need the most? I'm guessing that if you showed up on the Idaho doorstep with nothing but a suitcase and a whole bunch of kids, what are they seeing? What are they experiencing?
Right now, the greatest need is definitely housing. If I could ask for anything for these families, it would be a 100-unit housing apartment that's fully furnished with a minivan attached to each one. And I understand that that's a challenge, you know, all across the Treasure Valley because of how fast we've grown. But, you know, maybe there's a developer somewhere that wants to have a, you know, little Kiev project. And the people that are coming in are very highly skilled. We have people that were business owners when they were in Ukraine. And so as soon as they have authorization to work, they're going to be able to get up on their feet very quickly. But it's this interim and being in the unknown for so long, that's hard for people. And so greatest need, probably immediate, that's hard to fill, is housing and transportation. Vehicles are another piece that, you know, we have several organizations, several stories that maybe you've heard where a family has received a vehicle. And so those are all very, very welcome. And those are game changers for these families.
Wow, this is a big deal. I mean, you're basically having to help these folks until they're able to, like you said, get cleared to work and then make some money.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm curious, how have the Valley? How have people in the Valley welcomed the Ukrainian refugees? We've had a lot of refugees come in over time in the Treasure Valley. How are folks responding? How are the Ukrainians finding it out in the community?
In our experience, throughout this effort, people have been very, very generous. And Idaho has a history of being very open to refugees. And I know that firsthand because my parents were refugees in the United States 34 years ago. And when we came to Idaho, we were welcomed with open arms. And that's been the case for, you know, many refugees from lots of different countries over the years, and even most recently for the Afghani refugees that we're seeing here. So the response we've received has been very positive. Folks are eager to step up and help. And so what we're trying to do is basically have a strategy in place to plug people in with whatever resource they have available. So we've had a really, really positive response from our community, and we've just been overwhelmed by the generosity and very, very grateful for everything that's occurred up to this point.
Tell us about these community dinners that you're going to put together every week.
So the community dinners are, we did a trial run last week, and we are actually going to table it for a little bit, only because we have some mission critical pieces that we have to put in place that are a little bit of a more immediate need for the families. And so the community dinners, we will have an announcement on our website when those become regular. And we're in the planning phase of what that's going to look like. But it's the couple of times where we've had a Ukrainian food catered, it's been really fun. And, you know, you walk into the kitchen and it smells like home. And that's very exciting for those people, because it is one more piece of normalcy that is coming back into their lives.
Awesome. Okay, we've been speaking with Dr. Tina Poloshuk, the Director of Outreach for the Idaho Alliance for Ukrainian Immigrants and Refugees, and Sydney Kidd from the Idaho Press about the new Ukrainian Welcome Center in Nampa. I want to thank you both for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll get the latest info on Idaho's water supply. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. You're listening to Idaho Matters.